Let's get started. I'm just going to go left to right on my screen and you fall in where you fall in. Isabel, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me your favorite state to visit.
Hi, my name is Isabel and my favorite state to visit, I would say would be Florida, but not right Florida. Now.
Only when it's not raining.
Yeah.
Morgan.
Hi, I'm Morgan O'Hara, DDD IOC liaison with the CARES Administration, and my favorite state to travel, probably Hawaii.
Ooh, I've never been, that's one state I've never been to. So, Michelle.
Hi, I'm Michelle Rademacher, DDD Independent Oversight Committee liaison, Morgan's partner in crime. Work under the CARES Administration. My favorite state to visit, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to say Virginia, because most of my family is there and they have mountains and beaches.
Yes, they do. Very beautiful. Stacy.
Stacy Rodarmo, I'm the District North QA Quality Assurance Manager, and my favorite state to visit, oh, that is a good question. I'm going to say California just because I can hit Disney and Legoland.
And by the way, I know there's crime between Michelle and Morgan. I've known that for a while. So somebody who's on the phone, the last two digits is 13. Phone number ending in 13. You're on mute. Okay, we'll pass over that and we'll go to Abby.
Hi, everyone. My name is Abby, and I work for Caring Minds. Caring Minds Health Services. I'm the owner of the agency. I'll say where I would like to travel to is going to be New York, because I have a families there that I haven't seen for like maybe 15 years. So I'd like to see as many as possible. I can see when I go there.
New York is a great place to have dinner. I'm telling you, food is wonderful there. Wow. Christina.
Hello, I'm Christina Hedges. I am the DDD Office of Individual and Family Affairs Administrator in the CARES Administration. I would either say California, also because of Disneyland and the beach, or Oregon. I really enjoy Oregon.
Mm.
Yeah, Oregon has beautiful weather. That would be my second choice.
Okay. Stacy, we're going to get along really well.
Ian Wilson.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Ian Wilson here. I'm with United Healthcare, member advocacy in the OIFA team. My favorite state to travel, for a long time it was Arizona, and then I moved here, so now I have to pick something else. Probably Hawaii. I grew up surfing there quite often, so it's nice to go back and have some friends out there.
I could be an excellent surfer if it wasn't for that balance thing you guys got.
Yeah.
Larry.
So Larry Allen with Arizona Department Administration. Don, I'd probably have to say Montana.
Ooh.
Yeah, went to Yellowstone a couple years ago. I loved it. Beautiful countryside and the mountains and the forest and the animals were unbelievable.
I've got a story about Montana someday I'll have to tell you. It's from right. My old truck driving days. Let's see, Monica Ramos.
Hi, I'm Monica. I am an executive assistant here at DDD. for Thelia Morris. She's also on the call, and we're with the strategy unit, I guess. Oh, sorry. My favorite state. I'd have to say California, just because I grew up there. My family's still there.
Okay. And let's see. Thea, is it Thea Morse? Am I saying that right?
Hi, it's Thelia. Thelia Morris.
Thelia Morris. Okay, Miss Morris.
No worries. So again, Thelia Morris, I am the administrator for the strategy management unit within DDD. And I would say that my favorite state is to visit would be New York.
New York. The city or upstate?
The entire thing. So my family's many relatives are in the within the five boroughs, within Brooklyn, Queens, etc. And I went to college upstate New York. So that's why I would say the entire state.
I was in Buffalo. I was driving a semi and I pulled into the truck stop and I decided to take a nap before I went in for dinner. And I was only asleep like 3 hours and there's like 3 feet of snow in 3 hours. It's just crazy.
There you go.
Suzanne, is a IOC member, for District North. We are introduce yourself and then tell me your favorite state to visit.
Suzanne Bonomo from Hope Group. I'm a lead direct provider and also a job coach. Connecticut, actually. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in New Jersey, but Connecticut is so beautiful. I wish I could live there. It's too expensive though.
Yeah. So, my name's Don. I'm the IOC chair and I've been to all of these states. I love to eat in New York, Virginia, too much humidity. California is a lot of fun, but it's kind of dry. Might be a little fire there going on right now. Florida, too much humidity, and they have alligators walking all around the city streets. No. Hawaii, I've never been there, but the best food I ever had in my life is in Connecticut. So I have to agree with you there. In my favorite state, I got family in Arkansas, but I'm going to have to go to California. So California wins with 4. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. I'll go ahead and again, go right to left. So we had a question for you, Larry. We have myself and 2 other members. Morgan, help me out with this one.
So because he's now a committee of 3, but we have 2 potential members joining us this evening, do we need a vote or does he ask them because then he becomes 4 after 1?
No, Don will appoint the new members as he seems fit. And therefore, once appointed, then he'll have a quorum.
Okay. So I got to follow that that list, right? The quorum. So I have to follow the list of what the agenda is. And then
it can go in any order.
Yes, okay. You can go in any order. I would suggest go ahead and go through the conflict of interest statement and then go through the membership and appoint the new members as you see fit.
Okay.
And once the members have been appointed, then you can go ahead and start with your official meeting.
Okay.
And follow the agenda. And like Morgan suggested, you can take your agenda items at any order you want, as you see fit.
Okay.
So that's your call.
Okay. So, I would like to appoint, both, Abinola. Is that right? Did I say that right?
That's fine. Well, you can go by Habby.
Okay. And also, Isabel. Welcome to the crew.
Thank you.
So,
thank you so much.
There is a conflict of interest. So if there's anybody that's here today that has a conflict of interest with DDD and our mission statement, go ahead and present it now. If not, then we'll move on.
And the conflict would be to the agenda items themselves as well.
Oh, okay, so, to the agenda items. So, yes. Okay, so I don't see any agenda items other than appointing the two new board members. Is that right, Morgan?
And we also have the strategic planning presentation.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you guys for that. So strategic planning. So I'm glad that's here. So does anybody have a conflict with those two items? Okay. So let's go ahead and move on. Discussion for the vice chair. So because we have a quorum now, I need a vice chair. Is that correct?
Don, you don't have to have a vice chair. That's totally up to you. If you want to delay that to your next till your next meeting, I know you have obviously two new members tonight, right? Or at least one member, and then you have an opportunity to get an understanding, get them onboarded, to give them an opportunity to kind of get their sea legs underneath them a little bit, and then. And then as you see fit, and if you're comfortable with the progress of the committee, then go ahead and set your VP.
So, Morgan, let's set that discussion for the March meeting. And that gives these young ladies time to figure out what it is we do and other responsibilities that we have. And then they'll know more about what we got to do. And then we will proceed from there. Okay. Incident report assignments. So, Suzanne, you have an assignment, right? And,
you were going to send them to me and then you didn't, because we kind of talked fast last time and I didn't get to write them down. So,
okay. I have them in my computer. I will, I promise I will send them, big note to myself.
Okay, I know we said incident reports, and then there was, I think, one other or two others, but.
So for the new members, we'll assign you an incident report category in March, okay?
Okay.
And then the next one is staff updates. So Stacy, you wanna start?
Sure thing. So I think the last time I was here, I reported out that we were in the process of getting a new health and safety nurse supervisor that did get finalized over the Christmas, right before Christmas vacation. So December 21st, we got somebody in that position. I have one open incident specialist position that we are in the process of getting posted. So we can start gathering resumes and going through the interview process. And that's it for updates on staff.
Can you tell me what the nurse for safety is? What is her job duties?
Those are our district level nurses who, when we receive an incident report, if there's a concern over the health and safety of the member, they'll go out to the location, and we only go to licensed settings, so we'll go to group homes or DTAs, developmental homes with permission, just to check on the member to make sure that they are safe if we have concerns from what we're reading in the incident report.
So when you say the ADH homes with permission, I don't think mm-hmm. I've ever had one ask for permission.
Well, we can't just go into an ADH without permission. We can go to the home, but they don't necessarily have to let us in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Their permission, not ours.
Okay. Okay. Does any of the board members have any questions for Stacy? Okay. We'll move on and we'll go to Christina.
Hey, everyone.
So kind of the biggest update that we have right now, I guess that I'm going to talk about, Celia is going to talk about another pretty big update, but I'll let her get to that. We did just roll out our new qualified vendor agreement. It's been out for 2 weeks now. This is essentially our new contract that we rolled out. And this is the first time, similarly to what Celia is going to talk about, that we've really had any kind of substantial changes in our contract in over 10 years. So it's really exciting that we've got this kind of moving forward. Some of the changes that have been made in the contract is revised language to ensure that the contract is more person-centered. There are now requirements for qualified vendors to have staff in key positions with specific education or specific experience requirements. There was some changes to the requirements for qualified vendors' quality management plans and quality monitoring to reinforce and better support the delivery of quality services. So kind of all of these changes to the contract are really to ensure that we are getting the best services possible for members. There is a list on our website of the current services that we're soliciting for. Off the top of my head, I know there is occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical therapy, music therapy, and a few others that we're looking for vendors for. So I'll go ahead and put that link in the chat. But that's kind of the main thing we've got going on, other than what Thelia is going to talk about. So,
okay, cool. Glad to see it finally here.
It's exciting. It's been quite the process to get it rolled out. So we're excited that it's here.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir.
You have any updates?
Well, nothing from the health, at least not from United Healthcare, Don. But I'm more than happy to take any questions back to the plan.
Thank you for that email address there, Christina. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Wilson or Christina? So it just dawned on me, you know, if you're old as I am, you used to watch Dennis the Menace after school. So it was Mr. Wilson. So that just came to my mind.
Oh, I get it more often than you would think.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Larry, you're next.
Don, that made me chuckle. That was funny. I don't have any updates from the department administration tonight. I'm working on some trainings and stuff that's going to be coming down the road here in the next 60 days, probably, but I don't have any dates yet. So I hope to have a solid update for the committee next month. Okay. In regards to some open meeting law trainings, and so forth. So I'm working towards that. So
I was thinking the other day after Christmas that we have a, that one training we do every year.
Oh, the open meeting law.
Right. I was thinking that as something to look forward to. So.
Yeah, I know, right? No, I'm actually in the process now of setting that up, actually. So I should know something, hopefully by the next meeting. I would hope so. Okay. So, and I do think it's beneficial, especially for the new members who don't have knowledge of open meeting law. It just kind of a little touch on the hot spots with the committee encounters and what to the pitfalls and what to avoid and kind of helps you stay in your lane a little bit in regards to the open meeting law and the pitfalls that you encounter during a actual meeting. So,
right.
We can certainly, I'll certainly have a solid update for you next month with some dates and times. And I'll try to schedule that in the evening, 5:30 or so. Training, last time it was 90 minutes, but I think we're going to try to condense that a little bit down to an hour with the Q&A session. So,
all right. Let's see. Do we? Oh, Michelle or Morgan, is there anything that? Oh, wait, hang on a second. Ashley Mason, you've joined, right?
Yeah, Don, I've been here the whole time.
Oh, have you? I'm sorry. I just didn't see your name up here.
It's okay. It happens like almost every meeting.
Well, go ahead and introduce yourself with your title and your favorite state to visit.
Okay. I am Ashley Mason. I am the Veteran Advocate and Adult Behavioral Health Liaison with Mercy Care. I don't have a favorite state to visit because I equally didn't like all the states when I visited. So, I think my mission this year is to find a state that I like.
Well, there's some pretty good ones mentioned tonight.
I've been to Virginia because of the military. I've been to California. Yeah, that wasn't a pleasant trip, so I didn't like that one. I've never been to Florida, so I might do Florida. That might be the state mentioned, or Montana.
There's a lot of things to do in Florida, but on Montana, the story I was going to tell you, Larry, is that I was driving and I pulled over into this little town that had a restaurant, a convenience store, a bar, and a church. That's all they had in the little town that I was at. So I went and ate dinner, and then I went to the convenience store to stash up on emergency food because it was starting to snow. And then I went to the bar to have a beer. So I had a beer. I went to the bathroom. And as soon as I got into the bathroom, there's $4 beer hanging on the coat rack inside the bathroom. And they're all draining into the floor. And then when I walk out, then I noticed that all the deer hunters, I guess, was sitting at a big table in the back, and they had all their guns up on the table, you know, and I just kind of nodded and went back to the truck.
That's a very disturbing story, Don.
Yeah, it was a little
unsettling. As a vegan, I am appalled.
So, Don, I was anticipating you saying you left there and you went straight to church.
No, it was a Thursday night. There's nobody there.
Oh, okay.
But when I was walking back, I had Christmas lights on all the buildings. And when I was walking back to the truck, I could see all the Christmas lights reflecting in snowballs that were about that big coming out of the sky. And It was quite pretty. So, you know, It wasn't a total bummer, but I wasn't going to hang around with that many guns in the building. So, Michelle or Madison, do we have any updates from you guys?
I do have updates too.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ashley. I get distracted.
Christina, I can't focus when you're laughing at me.
Sorry, it's been a really long day. It's been a long day. And I just appreciate you just saying that you have updates, Ashley. So, we'll hear them.
You know, you're welcome. You'll hear these updates every meeting that we attend together. So so this year, our official date for Connections Conference, the conference that is catered to our ACC REBA SMI designated people population, that is going to be April 17th and 18th. The 17th is going to be a full day and the 18th is going to be a half day. So the provider emails have gone out, the exhibitor emails have gone out, and the members finally just got their emails that gone out so that they can register on the form.
Where is that going to be at?
It is going to be in Tempe at the DoubleTree. I think that's what it's called. Let me get it.
You're right. Yeah, it's
okay.
The DoubleTree.
Cool. You might try to go to that. So you sent it to the providers, right?
Yes, we have already sent it out to the provider side. The member side just went out this week. I think provider went out last week. And then our exhibitor emails went out last week as well, too.
Are you going to send it to the IOC board?
I... I can put the link in the chat if I find it. I'm not sure if I can, if I have that information. I'm going to be very honest. I didn't get signed up for those emails.
Okay. Well, as a veteran, I certainly appreciate the work you do. And according to my wife, I'll need those services soon. So I can get a jump start on it.
Thank you for your services too. If you need help, I'm always here. I give resources all day. Ian too. Ian is a veteran advocate too. So
that's right, Dawn. And if you're considering working with the VA and anytime in the near future, I would recommend starting that process sooner rather than later, because it can take quite some time to get moving on that. So
even after you get a job offer, you you still have to wait months to actually start the job.
Oh, yeah, that's productive. Okay, thank you guys.
Very much like the, you know, the military. You hurry up and wait.
Exactly.
Don, were you saying that you were looking to get into like VA care at the VA or a job at the VA?
No, I already go to the VA for that.
Oh, okay. I misheard that. Sorry.
But it's for, you know, physical abnormalities. But if my attention span gets any shorter, it may be for mental health as well. So
fair enough.
Yeah, if you can send that to me, Ashley, or Morgan will transfer it to me if you don't have my email.
All right. And if I can't find it tonight, I will definitely send it in an email over to you guys so that you can have it. I just have to wait until my team gets back into the office.
Okay. That's wonderful. So are we done with the DDD staff?
We do have the strategic planning presentation as well.
Yes. Yeah, I was waiting on that. I'm going down through the list that you sent me. So,
Don, Dean with PRC, my internet was down, so I apologize for that.
Oh, that's all right. Dean, I'm glad you're here. So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me your favorite state to visit.
Dean Thomas, PRC District North. Favorite state to visit? I would say Wisconsin, home of the Green Bay Packers.
I do love the cheese curds, but not so much the Packers. But anyway.
I did like them this year either because they didn't go very far. So,
when they say that Green Bay is a, you know, love their football, is a definite understatement, to say the least. So, I mean, that town shuts down on Sundays when the Packers are in town.
I've been there for one game in 2012. So,
yeah, there's nobody on the streets but blowing papers. It's kind of eerie. So, but anyway, go ahead. Any updates for the PRC?
We're just going strong. We're definitely no more than 3 weeks out for behavior plans to be submitted and reviewed. The DRAZ that I was talking about last time, out of the 36, District North just has 9 more to pursue and get back on track to where members have their behavior plans on for annual.
Right.
So we just have 9 left.
You cover the most territory, but the least amount of population, right?
Yeah, for the most part, as more homes spring up, it's just per capita. It's more group homes towards the east, south, central, stuff like that. Right.
I just had a PRC this morning with PRC statewide. And yes. It was a really good experience. She kind of runs it like the way you do, you know. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then the admin assistant was the one that filled in for Cameron when
Caitlin.
So
yeah. Okay. So is that the last one, Morgan?
So I think so.
All right, get back to my list. Do you, Michelle, you and Morgan, you don't have an update?
I have a little one. Yeah. To continue on with your data, the committee has received 375 incidents for the month of December. The next chairs meeting, statewide chairs meeting, is going to be January 22nd at 5:30. And the next DDD public town hall meeting is going to be February 6th at 6 to 8.
Okay, when is the statewide meeting? What time?
It's January 22nd at 5:30.
Okay. Okay. And then, so discussion of review of incident reports and behavior plans. Just a question to the two other board members that's online. Have you been doing the incident reports and behavior plans?
I started to look at them, but I need a refresher on how to make notes on them.
Are you talking about the behavior plans or the
incident reports? Yeah, incident reports.
Okay. So I haven't done a lot last year and I haven't done many this year, but I think if you have, Dean, help us out. If we have a behavior plan where we have questions on their civil rights violate, if there's a civil rights violation, do we tell you, or is there a note on the thing that gets back to you?
What we do is that before PRC, when they're scheduled, Cameron will go in to your guys' folder and then see if there's any notes from you guys on those to review those. And okay. Then that will be pulled up, and then I will let the team know that they have a IOC questions that they need to be answered, or if you don't have questions.
Okay, so this year we are endeavoring to do better. So we have five people as of tonight. So hopefully Awesome. We'll get a lot of that done.
And I do have those numbers to share with you. If you
go ahead.
Basically, in 2023, PRC reviewed 1,792 plans. This year, or 2024, was 1,947. So we've gone up 150 plans on the year.
So this is statewide or just District North?
No, statewide.
Okay. That's a lot.
If it was District North, I'd be probably pulling my hair out what I have left.
So. So we've already discussed the committee membership. Public comments. Do we have anybody on the phone that wish to make a public comment, Morgan?
I believe we do, yes.
Okay. Which one is it?
I believe it's the 928 number.
Is that Mr. Delgado? Mr. Delgado, can you hear me? Mr. Delgado. So, his telephone is mute. Can you take it off mute?
I cannot, but he can hit *7 or *6, and that should unmute him on the phone.
Mr. Delgado? Okay. If you could email me his phone number, I'll give him a call back and tell him we couldn't see him. And then we'll just go ahead and close the meeting. Okay.
But we also have the presentation as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dean, go ahead.
Yeah, Don, I just want to reach out to the IOC staff that if you guys have questions in regards to the members' rights and so forth, don't hesitate to send me an email and say, hey, I got a question in regards to this, or do you think it's a violation? If you do, just, we can talk about it. I'm more than happy to.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm here, so.
Okay, Ms. Morris, I've tried to cut you out.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, make it quick. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Just real brief, with a lot of things happening around the world, as well as our country, but going to the development disability services that we need starting the new year, I just want to know something. What is the new development or new proposals from Arizona going to a new legislative starting this week that's going to benefit the disabled population in Arizona? A lot of people in our area would like to know what new things are being developing for improvement. Has anybody heard from any of the board members or council members or any of the staff from DD?
Well, there's been
Mr. Delgado.
Go ahead.
Mr. Delgado, this is Larry at ADOA. During public comment, we are not allowed to respond to questions. If you want to make a statement, please make a statement. Otherwise, we'll have to cut you off. So please proceed with your statement, please.
Well, I'll put it this way. My statement would be, I'd like to think that we as advocates try to get some concern information and propose a legislation that will benefit our disabled population. That's another way to put it. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mr. Delgado.
Yes, I just wanted to, I just hope I interpreted that correctly. Everybody, thank you, because we're all advocates. And that's right. My statement, that we should make concern about adding new things for our disabled population. We're all these advocates together. That's all.
Okay, let's move on to Ms. Morris.
Thank you very much. Again, I mentioned earlier that my name is Delia Morris, and I am the new strategy management administrator for DDD. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time today talking about DDD's efforts to create a five-year strategic plan. So I'm going to share my screen. And I will tell you that as I begin to present the information, that there's going to be an opportunity for you to participate as well, right? So it's not going to just be me talking. When we get to a certain point, my counterpart, Christina, will absolutely invite you to provide some thoughts on some questions that you're going to see later on, all right? So I'm going to give a little bit of a 30-second background on why I'm here. You know, it has been over a decade or so since DDD has published a long-term strategic plan, and we believe that right now is a perfect time to revisit, you know, our vision and our goals for the individuals that we support. And your input will help inform that process and the division's goals and the visions for the future as we define that five-year plan. And it is an absolutely critical step that as we are working to gather additional input, that we are gathering input from those who are supported by the program or have a vested interest in the success of the program. So we've already begun engaging with DDD members and family members, individuals supported by DDD providers, advocates, tribal nations, and even our staff as well, as we've been going through this process. By the end of the presentation, my hope is that you will have a better understanding of what it is we're looking to do, the why we're looking to do it, how we plan on getting it done, and a little bit about the when we're looking to get this done. So allow me to talk a little bit about what is strategic planning. Make sure that we are all on the same page, right, around what we're talking about. So it is the process that helps us to map out the vision for the future. And it helps us identify how it is we're going to get there. We're going to identify our goals. We're going to make certain decisions about the overall organization for the future, right? And our goal is to be able to create and publish this 5-year strategic plan by the end of July of this year. And when we think about strategic planning, we know that there are short-term ways in which we can do planning. There's midterm planning, there's long-term planning. So we want to make sure that you know, as we're talking about strategic planning, that we are focused on the longer-term planning, the more 3 to 5 year planning, right? So on this particular slide here, we want to be able to differentiate between the types of planning. There is, you know, operational planning that is focuses on short-term activities, typically things that are done within 3 to 6 month time frame. These are generally things where you'd want to improve efficiencies and effectiveness. And then when you get to tactical planning, those are changes and actions that you want to have implemented within 1 to 3 years. All right. But then when we get to strategic planning, this is the one where we are talking about, and this is where we want to focus on, right? So I've said already that we're looking to establish a strategic plan, you know, for the next 5 years or so. Some organizations may do longer than that. When they do their strategic plan, they may do, you know, 5 to 7. Some may even do, you know, longer than that. So when it's all said and done, we want to be very clear about, you know, that we have validated our mission, our vision, and taking a look at our values, right, as an organization. Why is strategic planning important? It's important because it helps us to define what those long-term objectives are. And I said before, it also helps us figure out, you know, how it is we're going to get there. But in terms of you thinking about those long-term goals, we also want to identify what those short-term goals are, right? And what work it's going to require in order for us to achieve those goals. We also know that it's important for us to be able to align our goals with what is happening externally, right? So our external reality. So the example that we share here is the fact that we know that our member population is growing at a high rate, and we have to figure out, you know, how do we adapt DDD's mission to that fact? Now, something that we can control, it's happening. So we have to figure out, you know, as we go along and we think about in the long term, how do we plan and support, you know, that member growth. As we think about strategic planning, we know that there are challenges that we've experienced over, you know, over time. So we have to be honest with ourselves about what those challenges are, but then also look at opportunities. So are there things that exist out there that we've not been doing that would just help us, you know, meet the goals of the individuals that we serve and help us move along in supporting our mission statement? When we think about strategic planning and why it's important, it helps us define where DDD is going, and it just helps ensure that those who are supporting the work, that they're on the same page with us, right? So that means everyone who is working in tandem, you know, to support the individuals that we serve, fully understand, you know, what our vision is and how and what our plans are and how it is we're going to get there. So everyone from internally, so the people that I work with at DDD, including our you know, our partners externally as well. So the bottom of this slide here, I want to read verbatim, right? So it says, if our goals and objectives are the destination on the map, the strategic plan is our navigation system. Now, on this slide here, we have our mission statement. I mentioned earlier that it is important for us to include or refer to our mission statement as we move forward with any sort of strategic planning. So DDD already has a mission statement, right? So I'll read it to you. It says the Division of Developmental Disabilities empowers individuals with developmental disabilities to lead self-directed, healthy, and meaningful lives. So as we move forward to define what our five-year plan is, we absolutely must, without a doubt, keep this in the forefront, because we want to make sure that whatever it is we are doing, whatever it is we're looking to get done in the future, that it aligns to this, right? Because it helps, you know, it helps keep us honest, right, around, you know, the things that we want to do. Now, on this slide here, I'm sharing with you, you know, some of our more recent strategic related efforts. Some of these efforts were shorter term than others, right? So back in 2020, we started this Current to Future, or C2F, program that helped us focus on notice to cures. So essentially ensuring that we were addressing any sort of corrective actions and compliance actions, right, with these notice to cures that are listed on the screen here, while we also transitioned the administration of the tribal health program to access, and we improved our nursing assessment process. On the right, since 2023 to now, we have been focused on strengthening our behavioral health services with several projects, including the dual diagnosis and positive behavior support training projects, behavior supported group homes, and an existing project where we're looking to improve the behavioral plan process. Christina also talked about RFQVA that just was implemented, so I won't spend too much time on that. But the last one on here is our focus on the NCQA accreditation. So we're working on achieving our accreditation for the National Committee for Quality Assurance, right? Long-term services and supports accreditation. And through that, DDD will strengthen the quality of the support provided by DDD staff, addressing documentation concerns, ensuring that we have updated policies and procedures to really, at the end of the day, help improve the quality and support to members. So those are just some of the examples. So I'm going to keep moving really quickly so we can get to the meat of, you know, of why else we're here. On this next slide, you know, when we talk about what this plan is and how we're going to get there, this is a timeline that we've outlined, and it's really broken down into phases. So our first phase that we're currently in is gathering input. And that's one of the reasons why we're here today. It's to spend time through stakeholder engagement to solicit, you know, input on a strategic plan, you know, focus areas. We've had smaller meetings that we have attended. We have done town halls. We have a survey that is out where we're asking people for input. So we're trying, you know, to do all that we can to really spend enough time getting, you know, input from the voice of, you know, the customer, right? So that's where we are right now. We're looking to wrap that up by the end of this month. Then we're going to get into defining priorities. So after we've gathered all this information, it's quite a bit, right? Because we're not just using the information that we've gotten from speaking to people like yourself. We're also looking at other data that we already have access to that helps us tell a story. So looking at all of that, we're going to start to identify, you know, what those common themes are that we're seeing and we're hearing, looking to identify priorities and other focus areas, right? So that we can start to fine tune and refine potentially what that strategic plan will focus on. Then we're going to get into the actual drafting of the strategic plan process. So here we're going to identify our goals and objectives. We'll identify how we're actually going to measure success, looking at DDD's vision, looking to see, do we need to tweak it, you know, a bit and take a look at that. And then also ultimately create an action plan that is going to include those initiatives and target dates for completion, right? Then once we're done with that, we're going to update the community. So meaning that we're going to share a draft of that plan with the community. That means internally within DDD and also externally with our stakeholders, and request feedback. Now, though you may hear me say that our plan is to share that update in June, it is not going to be the only time that we're going to be soliciting feedback, right? We expect that we're going to come back and share updates as we go along this process and look to see if we are heading down the right path, right? Ask for feedback so that we can check and adjust, you know, continually until we get to that point where we have, you know, a pretty solid strategic plan. Now, once we have gone through the process of drafting and getting feedback on the strategic plan, we'll update it again, and then we're ready for prime time, right? So come July is when we're going to look to publish that final version of the plan. We will look to post it on our DESDDD website and other places so that everyone understands what it is we're working towards, right? And then we're going to start to monitor. So earlier on, I talked about, you know, having to create an action plan. So it's one thing to say, yeah, we want to do all this wonderful work, but we have to have a more detailed plan that tells us a little bit step by step, what are we going to do in order to be able to achieve those goals? So in that action plan, it'll define what those initiatives are and those dates, right? And how we are going to be successful, right? Measure success. So we're going to be monitoring that, you know, over the months and the years. And then on an annual basis, look to check and adjust, right, on our five-year plan. So again, this is not, if I could leave you with anything else, right, as part of this process, we are not just going to say, here's what it is we're going to do and leave it at that. We want this to be a collaborative, inclusive experience where people have the opportunity to provide their feedback and their input, and that we assess that, look for ways to include them, you know, where it makes the most sense, right? And then be able to move along with being successful, right? Our goal is to be successful with, you know, with the plan. All right. So as I move on to the next slide here, this is where I'm going to invite Christina, you know, to help facilitate in a conversation to ask you for some input. Remember earlier on, I said that this wasn't going to be a one-sided conversation where I'm going to be talking, you know, at you. Absolutely not. We want to be able to use some of this time that we have with you to be able to hear again, you know, as I said before, voice of the customer. We want to be able to hear some of your feedback that we can take with us as we look to solidify and provide some input into the strategic plan. So that is the update that I have, you know, for you at this time before I turn it over to Christina. So I don't know if there are any questions before Christina begins, you know, the questions that we have for you, but I'll pause and Don, you can let me know, make this a little bit bigger, see if there are any questions for me. All right, so I'm not seeing any or hearing any then, Don. So I
we can go ahead and move on. To
all righty,
perfect,
wonderful.
Okay, well, thanks, Thelia, for that great. So now we want to hear from all of you on the IOC. We've put together three key questions that we're going to ask one at a time to get your recommendations, your thoughts, share your experiences, so that we can use those thoughts and experiences to set those priorities that Thelia was talking about for the strategic plan. So the very first question, what are your hopes and goals for people with developmental disabilities that are served by the division over the next 5 years?
I have a comment.
Yeah.
I would love to see the department emphasize more on the rights of the individuals. So many of the families that I deal with, you know, the member could be quite developed and intelligent. You know, they know what they want. They can advocate for what they want. However, their parents are there to just miss, what do I want to say?
Guide
take
them
off course. convince them that we need to do this rather than this, you know. And I think that, you know, basically for me, all the lessons that I've learned in life has been through trial and error. And they're trying to take that away from them. And if you get somebody so dependent on another human being, they're never going to learn. And I just wish there was some way that we could get the parents to understand that we have to allow these members to take, to make their own decisions. Yeah, especially if they're their own guardians. And we could do that through a DDD orientation when families want to come on board. But go ahead, Isabella.
Thanks, Don. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to interrupt. But I agree with you 110%, Don. Coming from experience myself, because I'm actually a DDD member myself, and I have friends within my community that are going through that exact same issue. So I would agree on what Don is saying, at least have and I wouldn't just start like at the beginning of services. I would say through every meeting, have parents acknowledge and understand, and families, that our members have to be their own advocate and have to at least practice advocating for themselves. Because if we're constantly monitoring what they're saying, we're never going to get the real goal out of what they need. So I agree with you 110 on that one.
Thanks, Isabel.
Dean?
Go for it, Dean.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, IOC's continued support and I would say review of PRC behavior plans that have been submitted. Just like Don was saying, checking for rights violations and helping us with that, or bringing to our attention things that they see in the behavior plan. I'd like to see that next 5 years to just continue with that and improve. So,
thanks, Dean. Isabel, do you have some more thoughts?
Sorry, I still have my hand up. But as far as my thoughts go, I think Don hit it right on the head, like the nail on the head. But I would say I would really like to see DD members, like have them answer more questions and, you know, let parents know at the beginning of each meeting that this meeting is for our members, and allowing the member to speak first. And possibly if possible, without always having, if especially the member is able to advocate for themselves, give the member the option of if they would like to have this meeting just with them and DDD versus having mom and dad present at all times, especially if the member is able to advocate more for themselves and is higher, you know, as Don was mentioning, is able to understand more of what's going on.
It's a great point, Isabel. I do just want to throw out there kind of my own plug. DDD does have our own self-advocate meeting. And if you are interested in attending because you're a member and it sounds like you are advocating for yourself fiercely, we would love to have you attend those meetings.
That would be awesome.
Okay. I will get Morgan and Michelle to get your contact information and we'll get that all set up. Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. Okay. Does anybody else have any thoughts on question number one? Oh, Abby. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Yes. Thank you for letting me say stuff. So I will say most importantly during the ISP meeting, the support coordinator, like Isabel said, they should get them more involved, you know, like let them talk. Sometimes I see some support coordinator, like instead of asking these members, they'll be asking the parents when the members are there that they can speak for themselves. Though sometimes they feel like, you know what, we know them better, we are the parents, but sometimes they have their own words, let them say it. And also to talk to the parents about allowing these members to do stuff that will make themselves sufficient. Like doing it with them, not doing it for them. You know, we want them to be independent, though it might take longer. Some people, they grab something easily. Like I tell some people, I have a one member, the parents, they've been teaching him how to know the address to the house. And at one point, they were about to remove the goals, right, of him knowing where he lives. Then after they were about to like decide that they're going to remove that goal, and all of a sudden, this guy just started saying the address, you know, give them time. It might take forever. That's fine. But let the parents know that. Let them do stuff on themselves. Let them advocate for themselves. You know, I mean, that's what I will say. They should just keep pushing about that.
Thanks, Abby.
You're welcome.
And Don, I believe, put in the chat that he agrees. Talk to members versus just talking to their parents.
I agree, and that also goes for not talking so much to the provider. You can talk to the provider to get information, but when it comes to decision time, the member is the one that needs to make the decision unless he advocates towards the provider or staff, or, you know, if he wants to go back to the parents, then that's his choice, and we got to live by that.
Great thoughts, everyone. Does anyone have anything else they want to add to number one? Yeah, Isabel, don't raise your hand, just talk.
Okay, thank you. I would say, notice certain social cues from the member. If the parents, because I understand, like, if the member decides that they want their parents to advocate for them, that's totally fine. But I would also watch for like cues or social cues or things that maybe the parents are kind of signaling for them to, you know, say, okay, I want my mom or you know, I want my family member to advocate for me. Because I this is totally out of, I guess it could be part of this, but I always think back to like, a documentary that I was watching, and I forget from what it was from, and there was the girl that I guess the mom was kind of like signaling to her that she had to say, my mom is this, or my mom helps me with that, or and I can't remember, it's at the top of my head and I can't remember the name of it, but I was watching it on Hulu years ago, a couple of years ago, and I always think back to like, do parents, is there any like signal that parents maybe give their kids, or is there any thing that we can notice if parents are kind of sort of trying to maybe persist that their children tell them to advocate, or how do we like teach us as staff, or you know, how do staff learn, I have it at the top of my head, how do us as DDD staff or people that are working with the members, how do we help them learn signals of like maybe the parents trying to sort of convince the member to have them advocate instead. How do we notice those things?
Great points. Okay. If you think of something later, I don't want you to think like, oh shoot, I should have mentioned this. Celia is going to talk about it, but we are going to send, there is a survey at the end that's open for 9 more days. So if you think of something tonight at 3 a.m., because let's be honest, that's when I'm awake and do my best thinking. So if something hits you tonight and you want to put it out there, the survey's open for 9 more days. So,
okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's move on to question number 2 then. What parts of their lives or your lives do members want the division to help improve in the future?
I would say living arrangements.
Okay. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Mostly because I feel like a lot of our members are wanting to live independently and they don't have that opportunity to do so. And most of the time it's the first option they hear is, oh, let's go to the group home or, you know, something with assisted living. And so a lot of our members want to live independently, but their living situation is either with mom and dad or the group home. And if they do live on their own, and this is something that I struggle with, I mean, I have help from rides, from friends, from family, but a lot of our members, especially in rural areas, probably don't have access to like public transportation, you know, and so a lot of them have to depend on the provider most of the time. And so a lot of our members want to be more independent, do things on their own, and that's not a possibility.
Great points. I know we've heard in a few of these other meetings that transportation is a really big issue as well. I think even, especially not in rural areas, I've worked with a member who, you know, and lives in Metro Phoenix and she has access to the light rail. However, when it's 120 degrees out, that's not feasible for her to take. So
yeah,
I think those are great points.
I would think that if DDD could come up with some type of housing subsidy, I know the IDLAs are in the waiting list is, last I heard, was over 2 years. But you know, if there's a housing subsidy that they'll pay partial or some or enough to get them into an apartment if they qualify, you know, something like that would go a long way to, you know, let's just face it, at the age of maturity, which these members mature just as well as anybody else, they want to be independent of their parents. They want to be, don't want to be hounded or nagged or forced to do things that they don't want to do. So the best way to get them to be on their own is to put them in that particular body of water and just help them exist in that. It may require some in-home services to help them, to let them know that, yes, you do have to clean your place because this is not how your mom kept it up, you know, things like that. And the support coordinators have to do in-home meetings, and that's the perfect time for them to monitor the individual.
Thanks, Dawn.
Exactly.
So, you agree with that, Isabel?
100%. I lived it. I've been on my own for since I was just almost 20, and I'm 32 now. So I was just short. I was just shy of my 20th birthday. I've been on my own for almost 13 years. He's definitely saying a lot of truth there. I think the first year or two, the first 3 years, I struggled with a lot of organizational skills, a lot of budgeting, all those things. Am I perfect with it now? I'm still in the process in some areas, but so I'm doing much better. I have three kids of my own. I have three boys. I just had twin sons 2 months ago, and I have a 6 year old. Yeah, I've been married for now almost 10 years, and I don't regret a single decision I ever made. And I kind of made it out of force. So, and again, I see a lot of my friends who are potential for independence, a lot of them who drive. I have a friend who is a cancer survivor twice, survived brain cancer, and he's working for the school district here in town. And so I have friends that are also part of, you know, our DDD, and they're, you know, some of them are living, you know, very fulfilling lives. Others are still, you know, at the grasps of mom and dad, because, you know, maybe to them their disability needs more assistance. But it's, I feel like people are starting to understand that there's more potential for success, and so I hope that this will increase that a lot.
Amazing points, Isabel. Yeah, Abby.
Yes, I will say, I mean, honestly, I will say spending more time with members, you know. Most cases, when the parents send their family members or their loved ones to group homes, places like maybe anywhere like that, they just abandon them, you know. We need to spend time, especially when parents are being given the opportunity to provide services for their loved ones, to their children. We need to make sure that they're spending time with them, that they're not just getting paid to do this. Everybody wants to be loved, you know, because sometimes all these behavior that they're exhibiting, sometimes it might be because they want their family members around them. You know, I will say, whatever the state can do, make sure they are not being abandoned. They need to see what, if they're sending them to the assisted living facilities or anywhere, let them sometimes go there and see how their loved ones are being treated. Maybe they are being treated well or not, and spend time with them. That's what I will say.
Okay, so encouraging families to continue to play an active role in members' lives, even if members are living in group homes or other settings.
Yes.
Love it. Anyone else have some thoughts for question number two?
Yeah, this is Dean with PRC.
Yeah, Dean.
With PRC, over the several years that I've been reviewing behavior plans and so forth, I see that members definitely advocation is a big thing, but also a lot of them who have their parents as guardian or family members, they have their own choices or want to have their own choices and thoughts, as they should, but they hold back in regards to what they should express or what they want to express based on the fact that they don't want to upset their family members. So I guess just getting that information out to the family, it goes back to, you know, one of the goals to allow them to be independent. I mean, if that's why they're in the group home and not in a home setting and so forth, to become independent in the future and to speak for themselves. So I think that's the main thing, is more advocation and to be able to, you know, buy things and obtain things, a job or volunteer and stuff like that, just to be part of life and have their own life. So that's my input.
Thanks, Dean. I think that's kind of the perfect segue into our third question, actually. So what can the division do to ensure that members are really at the center, you know, at the core of decisions about their own lives? I heard all of you mention that you really want to see members, you know, being able to express what they want and, you know, not have to do exactly what their parents or guardian says, because let's be honest, nobody wants to do what their parents or guardian wants to say all the time. So what can the division do to ensure that we're really getting to what members want?
As PRC, and have I seen in PRC, is that I think the clear boundaries for what court-ordered guardianship or power of attorney and so forth means, and how it's supposed to help assist the member and not basically take over the member. I think that the guardianship needs to have some clear lines, and people need to understand it, that at times they're there to assist, and sometimes they're there to make a final decision if one can't be made. But I think that's the biggest education that PRC does, is with guardianship and telling individuals who have that guardian type role how to help them and not just tell them what to do.
I think this question goes back to your first question.
Okay.
I think Isabel said that, or Abby said, talk to the member and not the parent, or talk to the member and not the provider, talk to the member and not the licensing worker. When I look at vendor calls for new members, if I see on there that a member is arguing with parents, they get to a ADH provider and they're sweet as pie. They're compliant. They want to help. They like it there. And what the deal is, parents want to parent them into their 40s And that's not what this is about. I think the way that the first step in eliminating that, because I sit in a lot of the PCSP meetings, if I say something to a parent, well, that parent has that child in one of our homes. If they remove it, it cuts off our finances, right? Same with a group home. I think the support coordinator, or if the state wants to assign an advocate, but that's where that discipline needs to come from, right? If we have like that introductory meeting to DDD says that the member has the right, the member can make their own decisions. The member is their own guardian. Then you know what? The member's got to make the choice. And I've had so many parents, some in PRCs that I sat in as a volunteer, where the mother is trying to say he cannot have sweet foods. When I ask why, she goes, because I don't want him to. I have him on a special diet. Well, you know what? That's a violation of his rights. And when I try to say that, the mother is just crying and yelling and screaming at me. She needs to understand that when their child is in DDD, they have the right to make their own decisions. Yes. And however you make that, bring that across to the parent, it needs to be there and non-negotiable. And if the parent's the guardian, now we got to revert back to whatever mom says. They're not doing their child any justice if they're making these decisions for them. And then one day the parents are going to be gone and this child is going to be helpless. This child, this adult, is going to be helpless the rest of his life. This is a big subject with me, if you can tell.
I can tell, and I'm glad you have the voice to be able to share all of this. I think it's great, Dawn. Thanks. Abby, I saw you come off mute. Yeah.
Yes. I will say maybe the support coordinators, maybe sometimes they need to print out these members' rights with them when they are going to the meeting. You know, because some of them, I'm so sorry, some of them don't even know. You know, because some of the meetings that I do attend, I like attending a high SP meetings almost every time. I just attended one this evening. So one was like, okay, within that member was just there only to say hi, and that was it. So sometimes maybe the supervisor sometimes need to attend it with the support coordinators too, because they might be doing different things. That's what I will say.
Okay. That makes complete sense. I'm hearing a lot of going back to kind of the basics and education and starting ensuring that, you know, people know that members have rights too, whether that be support coordinators or guardians or parents. So yeah, Dean.
Yeah. A couple times during PRC, the team is looking at, or the guardian is looking at moving the member from their current home to another group home. And one of the questions I ask is, how does the member feel about that? And the guardian, whether it be the public fiduciary or mom, dad, grandparents, or whoever, they say, oh, we haven't discussed it with them. We're just not... We're fed up with the group home and how he's being treated there, but the member likes it there, from what I can understand. So it's like, ask them first if they want to be moved. Or, I mean, just because that guardian has an issue with the group home, that's something that they should work on. But if that member really likes that group home and that staff, then I think professionally that things should be worked around to, for that member to stay there and do their best if that's where they like to be.
Yeah, just kind of that simple concept of, you know, asking the member what they want. Great point. Anyone else want to share anything?
Yes, I'll say, yes, we're talking about members advocating for themselves too. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand as well that we have some non-verbals that cannot express themselves. we need to look at the signs too, like what are the behavior they are the, I mean, behavior sometimes can be communication. I'll say it's communication. We need to look at that too, because some of them might not be. I used to be a foster mom. I used to have an adult in my house that was nonverbal, you know? And I was like, okay, sometimes how do I tell what he likes and what he doesn't like? But by me knowing this individual very well, you know, I was with him at all times. And I was like, okay, at one point it was trashing all the food in my house. And I was like, what's going on here? And where he used to come from, I asked, what happened? Has he ever trashed your food before? They told me, no, it was always okay. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? What am I not doing right? But later I found out that he does not like some certain food.
Mm.
When he sees that food, the best way to tell you is to trash everything. Either that food or something else. It will empty your fridge overnight. But by paying attention to him, getting to know him more and more, then how do we get to know him more and more? By making sure we spend time with them. You know, when they are doing something, they are trying to communicate stuff to us. So by spending time, and you know, we need to understand them as well too. Like,
great point, Abby. I think it's really important to look at, you know, not everybody communicates verbally, and what are there other ways that we can be having conversations with members? Can we use written communication? Can we use pictures? Can we use observations? Simple things like that. I think amazing point, Abby.
And I'm not sure if DDD does have kind of like what DCS has. They do have like court-appointed advocates for children to get their points across. So some of those are nonverbal based on their age. So I'm not sure if that's something that the department wants to look into, as certain advocates might be court appointed to help guide a nonverbal individual to make decisions and help them out too, and be a advocate and a voice for them.
Yeah. Thanks, Dean. Anyone else? Okay, well, it sounds like I'm going to throw it back over to you, Thelia. So thank you all so much for your contributions. I should have said this before, but Thelia and Monica, I believe, have written every single thing down, and we also have this recorded. So we are taking all of this information, and it's recorded, it's noted, we are hearing you. So.
Thank you very much, Christina, and thank you all for your candid input and feedback. And as Christina mentioned before, that if you realize that there are other ideas that you have in mind, we are inviting you to complete the survey. The survey links were sent out initially back in December, and I know we've sent a couple of reminders and been posting it on the website and other places as well. So we're looking to get feedback from everyone, right, regarding some of these same questions. Like, if you haven't seen the survey before, you will see that the same three questions are part of the 8 or 9 questions that we ask. So please take an opportunity to go in and to provide your feedback, because we truly do want to hear it. This is not a waste of your time. And, you know, at the end of the day, as Christina says, we hear you, and we want to be able to use the information that has been presented, right? So I will move on to the next slide here and give you an opportunity to see if you have any additional last minute questions before we wrap up this topic for today's meetings.
Oh,
All right. So I don't hear anything. So at this point, thank you again for your time. I appreciate this. And I will turn it back over to you then, Mr. Don. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, you guys, for being here and sharing this information. Does anybody have anything else they want to present before we dismiss? Okay, so I'm going to take that as a no. It's a little bit longer than we usually go, so thank you guys for hanging in there, and I will see you guys next month. Okay?
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, you guys. Everyone.
Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.